All right, today on Lulz, Brian and I are going to talk about problem gambling and the ways that you can get in touch with your senators and local representatives to change. I'm just kidding. We're going to talk about Run Pure Sports for Ship It Nation.
He thinks this is a go. Vegas Dave thinks this is a go.
Hot naked girls doing yoga.
What?
Why don't you just win like a man?
Random.org. Type in one for yes, two for no. Let the DFS guys pick for you.
And I'm absolutely begging you not to dupe us. Please don't dupe us.
Brian, we had ourselves a little show last week. I mean, I feel like we had a little bit more live viewers than normal, and I knew that people in the DFS community were going to enjoy it, but I did not think to the extent that it happened. I mean, there were a million comments. I didn't respond to any of them because there were just too many. 12,000 views on the YouTube channel. You were saying our pod downloads were higher than ever. People love some DFS drama, I guess.
They're thirsty for it, Pete. There's people shilling themselves in the chat for job listings now, and
so if for some reason I'm assuming anyone tuning in live right now saw the interview last week. We interviewed Hoop. This was fresh off of him leaving Run Pure Sports. He had just started Ship It Nation, and he kind of gave us a chronological rundown of kind of his relationship with Run Pure Sports dissolving. And you know, there were some questions, I would say, Brian, that went unanswered. I thought you and I did a pretty good job trying to prod him on that, but a lot of the comments, I think, rightfully pointed out something still didn't fully add up, that there was a missing piece to the story we didn't get.
I said that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think some of the criticism was unfair. It's like, what do you want us to do? Like, we don't know the facts. It's all he said, she said. So basically all we could do is listen to what he thinks and then see what the other side says if they want to say anything. Like, I can't, like, people were like, ask him about what he did in 2007 at the at the McDonald's and when I was in high school. Like, yeah. We don't know anything that happened. We know nothing of what happened.
Yeah. This is a popular question. Win Big T on the show. Our friend, our mutual friend, Davis Matic, is hot on the case to get Big T to do the take cast. That's the word on the street. Davis has slid into the DMs multiple times. Trust me, if Big T wants to get on a show to discuss his side, he has plenty of avenues to do so. It doesn't seem like he wants to do that right now, though.
Yep. This is what Davis told me, too. He said, last I heard, though, he's not doing it.
Yeah. Wow. Am I DFS detective? I haven't done much work, like literally no legwork at all. Hoop came on, we interviewed him, and I have two tweets pulled up in my Chrome browser right now. That's the extent of the investigative journalism I've done on this, Brian.
And that's the most work we've done for a show in quite a while.
In a while. We did the most work we ever did for a show was our Ben the Better expose and revealing that one. Right. But since then, we've really phoned it in.
Yeah, yeah. Getting guests, I guess. That's about.
Yeah, you did go on a booking run.
Yeah, that takes all of, you know, an hour.
So was there anything else before we kind of get into the new stuff? Since that interview came out, there's been some more chirping and subtweets and stuff on Twitter, and we can pull those up and discuss. But just from the interview itself and some of the other comments and reactions, was there anything that jumped out to you?
No, I think just the amount of people interested in it surprised me. And some a few slight criticisms on we weren't hard enough on them, but like I already addressed that. What do you want us to do? We don't know every single thing that Hoop has done in his life, and a lot of it wasn't pertinent to that interview, and we don't know the facts of what happened between them. So I thought, you know, we did a fine job. And I didn't see anything besides really what we're going to talk about. I don't know. How about you?
No, I didn't see much at all. I actually, yeah. I mean, I scanned through and I saw some of those comments too. I thought on the whole though, the comments were pretty accurate and like well-measured and everyone kind of being like, yeah, we appreciate him telling a story. It seems like something's missing here. I would say sentiment wise, Hoop came out, at least in the comments, in the whole, I would say it was like 80%, 85% positive for Hoop.
Right around there, right around 85%. And he like told us before the show, he signed like a non-disclosure agreement, or not non-disclosure. Yeah, he signed a non-disclosure agreement. And he clearly didn't want to give his full story. Like, he stopped short multiple times, was like clearly using like legalese, like, oh, it's just my opinion, my, you know, I'm speculating here and stuff like that. So what can we do when he won't answer the questions? He won't provide the extra detail. It just looks like, okay, well then there's something else here too. And so we started guessing near the end, like, okay, what would have happened? What would Big T be thinking if you won't say it? And he kind of agreed with those guesses, kind of.
Yeah.
And then that's when like tweeting started after the show.
Yeah. And I would say, so the most revealing tweet we got was, so Big T, I assume his mentions have just been like a disaster since that episode. He did finally put out a tweet yesterday. Actually, a very, I did like the overall construction and cleverness of this tweet. He did it as a fake job opening at Rumpier Sports. Details: Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, Fridays off. I dig that. 4 or 5 shows a week. That's pretty, pretty solid. I think mostly 20-minute morning breakdowns. Can always get a replacement if literally anything else pops up. Golf and NFL chalk analysis. The chalk there being used as a pejorative. And then 300K plus equity per year slide in. So clearly a reference to what Hoop's kind of official arrangement was at Rumpier Sports. Did anything jump out to you here from this tweet?
So we were DMing a little bit about this. I was pretty much a sucker where I got the hoop thing, but I also thought, like, is he now actually looking for somebody or is he like puffing up Rumpier and be like, we can't afford to hire someone at 300K a year. I mean, also, like, so that means they were clearing, you know, over like $1 million in profit, not just gross, paying all their bills and all their people. This would assume if he's getting 33% or whatever.
Yeah.
So that seems like, I don't know, in their first few years, that's pretty good if that's what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, that honestly, like, none of this shocked me. To me, it was clearly like, I know there was some confusion about that. To me, this was like the most obvious subtweet of Hoop, which is kind of the thing that, like, Big T's MO is just constantly subtweeting, constantly veiled, like posturing, and never just fucking putting your nuts on the table and saying what you think. It's like, can we just, everyone knows who you're talking about. Can you just actually explicitly say it and stop beating around the bush? But I mean, to me though, if we are trying to now put on our detective hats, it seems like we got another piece of the puzzle here, which is Rumpier Sports did not think whatever, you know, Hoop was commanding as an equity shareholder and as just an employee was worth what he was getting paid. And my guess is, knowing that conversation about bringing in the CEO, was like, let's slide some of that salary over to a CEO who's going to have a different skill set than you, accomplish different things. We'll all still rise together, but we can't keep paying you this rate for doing 4 to 5 shows a week.
Yes, exactly. Putting the pieces together. Hoop also mentioned he was an accountant previously and he did financial stuff for Rumpier, but he didn't know anything about the financials of Rumpier during their separation. Right. So that would make me think he stopped doing it or never did it. Or maybe there's more to that. Like, he wasn't really doing much to begin with. And he just said, I did some financial stuff and it wasn't really much from the beginning.
Yeah.
So maybe he was doing that stuff and then stopped or wasn't doing it well or something. And Big T was getting pissed and like, I got to bring somebody in here. This was from people tweeting at me or DMing me saying they think after he won his millie, he just wasn't putting in the time. And he wasn't even playing DFS or something. I don't know if that's true. I don't play a lot of cash games, but so maybe somebody in chat would know better than me. and then he stopped playing or he wasn't playing. I don't know if any of this is true. This is just what people were tweeting at me. So that kind of bleeds into this. Like you do 4 to 5 shows a week. You're not.
Yeah, it's always tough to know like the actual arrangement. My guess is when it says 300K a year, this would be my guess. Tell me if you think it's wrong. I would assume that this isn't like actually a set salary and that they just have a rev share split with the ownership group. And like in the last year, that rev share in his piece of the pie was around 300,000. That would be my guess. Do you think that versus salary?
Yes, that's what I would assume is last year, or maybe their best year was 300K.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was like 270 or something. And he's rounding up to 251.
If you're writing the tweet, you're rounding that up.
You're rounding the shit up
every time.
Yeah. 227 is 300. Fuck it.
No. Yeah. You're rounding up.
You're rounding up. Rev share, their best year probably. And the equity is if they ever sell.
Right. So this is really interesting. Like now juxtaposing this to kind of hoop story, it still does not, you do not have a falling out with like a friendship and a really clearly a successful business relationship, right? Like if you're making 300,000 in rev share a year and you have equity in a company and you get to do a handful of shows a week while playing DFS, I mean, maybe not for everybody. From my perspective, that's a pretty good living. Pretty good living right there. But I still don't think a business and friendship falls apart because you're phoning it in and doing slightly less work than you were previously, right?
I agree. So that still doesn't fill everything. I mean, if he stopped doing the financials and he wasn't really putting in the time, there still needs to be some sort of like argument, you would think.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, Poop like made it seem like there was nothing at all. And one day he just wouldn't talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah. It does just seem like the fact that they, you know how there was this thing where Hoop was saying like, they weren't talking at all through this. Like all of this stuff was going on through other channels. Like you can't tell your friend, dude, you got to fucking do some more work, man. like, come on, man, we're doing good. We need you to do these things. We, everyone needs to pull our own weight. Like that doesn't seem like it should be that hard of a conversation to have.
Can we do some, back of the, envelope math or whatever, however the saying goes. So their sub for the year is $1,000 for DFS and betting.
Okay.
It's 1500 with Saber Sims, but they probably don't get that much. They probably get like,
you don't become a Ren Pure Sports member to get access to a simulator. I'm telling you that much.
they're like, we still haven't got one person to sign up for this package yet.
It's been the worst partnership in the history of DFS, a sim for Ren Pure Sports subscribers.
We get 20 emails a day saying, what is a sim? But we haven't gotten anyone to sign up for it yet.
Okay. So
let's say 1,000 to make the math easy.
Okay.
How many subs do they have?
$1,000. How many subs at $1,000 a pop?
Yeah.
Let's just say.
Obviously, some people sign up and quit, blah, blah, blah. You know, but just. I really don't know.
So if they had $1 million in revenue, that would be 1,000 subs. That seems, based on this number, and I'm anchoring to Big T's joke thing here. I'm going to say somewhere between 750 to 1,000 subs.
That's still not enough though, because you got to pay the bills.
Right. But I don't know if I assume Hoop was on the very tippity top of the salaries. Like I could see other contributors being like more in like the 60 to 100K range.
But if Hoop, AP, and Big T were making 300K a year,
mm-hmm.
that's 900K in profit, just them.
Mm-hmm.
So they would need to pay Tambo, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The coder guys, I'm sure they have, that shit's expensive. Website. Actually, they probably don't have a ton of actual app development. I've never been on their site, but
we got a couple people in the chat, and other people who are in their Discord might know. Someone says 1800, 1 to 2K.
It's kind of got to be, is what I'm getting at. Yeah, like 12 to 1500. Yeah. 1500 sounds like it had based on this, mm-hmm. but also he's rounding up from 220 right. probably. So 12, yeah, 12 to 15 sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's still pretty good.
Right. So let's even just set it at 1500, right? And let's even round it up. Let's say like $1,100. Let's say some people are rounding up for the Saber Sim there. So that gets you to 1.65 mil.
That's probably what they need.
Yeah.
To make this math work.
So you give the big three or whatever close to a million, and then you have another
600
five, yeah, and operating costs, other stuff like that, yeah. And then maybe some kind of cash reserves for the company.
Draft Cheat gets his $50 a show.
Yeah,
I wonder how much he makes. I bet he saw this tweet. He's like, God damn it, I want 300K a year.
Oh man, Hunter just reminded me.
What?
Dude, I had bought long ago my Run Peer Sports
merch.
Hat.
Oh, that's
I had not got a chance to debut this yet. I mean,
beautiful.
Come on.
That looks like your style too, Pete.
Also, check out the back.
Oh, money symbol. You know, you probably should enter some lineups just to see if it's lucky.
I do want to, the reason I pulled up this comment wasn't actually to get my hat, although that was a nice bonus. It was to say, you don't, unless you're at incredible scale, you're basically breaking even on merch. Like it is, I would be shocked if they cleared even 5 to 10,000 in profit and merch.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you make like $8. You would not you, but just someone would make like $8 a t-shirt.
Actually, maybe they do make more because I think I paid like $40 for this hat, and like the hats in my store, I think cost like $24 or something. So maybe I'm just awful at setting my own margins, but I would still not factor merch like that heavily into their income streams.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because when you scale it up, then they drop the cost, I'm assuming.
Yeah. No, or just like your margins are better. Like this hat probably costs them wholesale like $11 or $12 to make, and they're charging like $35.99 for it. So they're clearing.
Good. How do you not make right. money on that?
You're right, guys. This just reminded me of those Lulz hats that I have in the store. Right now, those prices are going up. all right. So was there any other thing on that math? I think that gets us in the ballpark if they have around 1500 subs.
Yeah. Yeah. Really quick on the extra cost. I think in the content creator world, I think it's completely reasonable and fair to have a higher margin for stuff like that, because they're really just saying, I support you. They're not like going to Target and comparing two t-shirts on which one they want to buy prices. They're just kind of like supporting your work, but
I'm losing money on this hat. How do I have this hat at $21 right now? 21. And let's go to the Run Pure Sports merch store. And I need to remember how much I paid for this. Man, I can't, but no wonder I've never made any money
on
my store.
Exactly. This is why Hoop is making 300K sitting in his hot tub all day.
Look at this. Oh yeah, exactly. I paid $35.99
okay.
for this hat, and I'm out here selling hats for $21. I suck at business.
Beanie is or the winter hat is what a deal at $29.99.
Oh my goodness.
T-shirts are running you $50, huh?
This one, the old school snapback was only $19.99. The new one though, which does have the camo and the RPS with the S dollar sign on the back. So now, you do get what you pay for.
Pete, are you factoring in that the average Run Peer subscriber is a quadruple XL and that costs a little extra?
It does. Honestly, when I go and set my pricing, I have to manually change it for like quadruple XLs, because if I don't change it, I will literally lose money on like a triple XL shirt.
But the price doesn't drop. That's how they get you.
All right. Thank you for this merch detour here. So after the big T tweet, shortly after that, we had my guy Tambone, also known as Tambo, tweet out, big talker, big texter, big tweeter, Lies, Greed, and Deceit. I think he was reading my YouTube title on the show last week and inspiration from that. Be careful what you say because I got the ultimate receipt. Trust me, dot, 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 hashtag less is more. Danny McBride gif.
Right, the big T gif.
Yeah. lot to unpack here. Lot to unpack. Do you think the big talker, big texter, big tweeter, as we put on the thumbnail, was a little big T Easter egg buried in there or just a complete coincidence?
Oh God, it's got to be big T. Come on. I'm surprised he put it all in. I wonder if he was like, huh, big T. And then he was adding words to the T or if it all just fell into place when he was editing his tweet.
It almost has the cadence of a Randone tweet. I wonder if they were workshopping this together in the Ship It Nation, you know, at the water cooler there, because this is like a clear eyes, clear lies, realize or whatever. Realize kind of thing here, don't you think?
He works with Randone now. So
exactly.
Where do you think he got that
on this tweet?
Yeah.
So what was your interpretation of this? Some of this is obvious. Big talker, big texter, big tweeter. Be careful what you say. He is saying that he has some kind of dirty laundry he could air out that he's essentially saying would be the trump card to all of this beefing and stuff. Do you buy it?
Yeah, I buy it. I don't know if it would be as big a deal as he thinks it is. Who knows what would happen, but I buy he's got something because Hoop said during in our last show that Tambo stayed on after he did or something. And because they were trying to sign him. So he must have gotten into some more higher up meetings during all the chaos. And he probably just saved everything. And I think it might be a little unfair too, because one of those things that's kind of a trust issue. So you probably shouldn't release that.
Right.
I guess if you get in a big fight, maybe, but like, you can understand if Big T's all pissed off or something that he'd be like, oh, I'm fucking hooped it, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? Like, maybe he just went off one day.
Yeah. It is interesting to kind of see this stuff because Big T in one of his, I think in Big T's first tweet post our interview, he like referenced like, he's like, oh, I was going to try to, you know, lay low, but this might force me to start talking. And when I do, I got some fun stuff to share. Like, do you think there is any sense of like mutually assured destruction here where both parties could have pretty damning stuff on the other? Or is this just all posturing to win in the court of public opinion?
I don't know. I think it's a he said, she said. They both think they have receipts, probably.
Mm-hmm.
I think with Big T, he's being too corporate, as I've said a few times. Like I told Hoop, it's better to tell your story than let someone else tell it for you. And he's kind of having this told for him. So he might want to go on the take cast and give his side of the story. it looks so far, it looks bad for Big T, I would say.
And that's I feel like just in general, even pulling back from this specific thing, like when you have beefs and stuff, you either completely ignore it, right? And if you ignore it on your side, eventually it dies out. Because if there's no popcorn, if it's one-sided, sure, people are like, oh, that's interesting. You know, maybe people pile on for a little bit, but then it just goes away. Or you share your side of the story. And right now it seems like the Run Pure guys are kind of middling it. Like none of them are wanting to get on a show or write out another blog post. I mean, we are definitely due for another State of the Giblets, but they're kind of doing the subtweets on Twitter, which I get is more just a cathartic thing for them of like, I got to say something, but I actually can't say what I want to say for some reason. So it just seems weird to me of either like, go on a show. Like you said, Davis Maddock has been knocking down Big T's door to get on the Takecast. Like, go do that show and get your side out, or just don't say anything at all because you're doing the thing that keeps people's attention on it, but leaving them unsatisfied.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. So he's got to go. I mean, I think originally his plan was solid. He did the press release. You got to say something.
Mm-hmm.
The press release is fine. Whatever. I think we probably made fun of it, but we made fun of everything. And then he was hoping the deal, they took a while to get all the details done to get Hoop out of there. They figured it out and signed a non-disclosure. and hopefully that's it, right? And then your first strategy of just let it blow over would have worked swimmingly for him. But now he could let this blow over. He could let this blow over. It might not be a big deal. Like, it might be best to just say, ah, fuck it at this point.
I have seen this Galaxy Brain take out there on Twitter from a couple. It might have been Greg over at Osmo. If the beef is fake for marketing, then we definitely fell for it. I do love that theory, but if you go read the comments and see how people are processing this, this has been good for Ship It Nation. One, they just launched a new site. So just strictly like letting people know, hey, there's a new site where Hoop's at. Just on that base level, this has been good for them. But there's been lots of people who were big Hoop and Tambo fans at RPS that have been leaving to go to Ship It Nation. And so if this was a coordinated thing on both of their part, I don't think it is equally benefiting each side right now, at least how I see it from my seats.
For sure. Bobby said something interesting. Why go on Takecast when they could do their own show? Yeah, you could do your own show.
Why would Hoop come on this show instead of just doing his own on?
I imagine Ship It Nation, he doesn't have the followers we have, but Run Pure.
They have 30,000 YouTube subscribers.
Do they? Already?
I don't know what Voodoo Randone was pulling behind the scenes to get them to 30K that quick. But yes, they have almost double or more than double than the YouTube subscribers I have.
Interesting. I wonder if they would have got 11, 12,000 views, though.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. But yeah, he could. I think it wouldn't hurt. I don't think it'd be bad going to take cast anyways. Davis isn't gonna like do anything. Davis doesn't know any of the facts either.
Davis just wants some of that download juice, baby. Yeah, Davis was looking at the channel being like, fucking 12K views. Let me get in on some of that, baby.
Oh my god, you know followers are gonna pick up for this.
I haven't had 12K audio downloads since Jeff Janis came on the Takecast.
if he has a succinct, easy talking point that's not going to get him contractually in trouble or anything like that, I think it'd probably be a good move. If not, I'd probably play the just ignore it from here on out game. But if he just has something like, listen, Big T, Hoop stopped doing X, Y, and Z. Like, he stopped working. He wasn't doing financials. Here's the receipts. I mean, what do you want me to do? He wasn't, you know, or something like that. What did that say? Sorry.
This was a joke. I've been doing hypotheticals with Davis on the Swolecast, where I would ask Davis, would you rather get $1 million cash just under the table? No one knows how you got it or whatever. You just go on with your life, or win $750,000 as a best ball champion. And he doesn't even blink and says 750K as the championship, because in Davis's eyes, the fantasy clout that he could monetize by being a champion is worth more than the 250K deficit. That's Davis's take. And a lot of people disagree with that, myself included.
He's got some weird. We did one the other day where I asked him how much Bitcoin would he need to sell some of it. I'm like, what if
I was listening to you? I listened to that earlier when I was working out and he didn't answer you.
He kind of did. He said he wouldn't sell. Like, and I'm like, what about 10 million? Would you then like, you know, get a big house, couple investment houses, just. And he says he said something too. Like, the only reason, as soon as he got rich, he would stop doing content.
Yeah.
He's only doing content to get rich.
Yeah. All right. Let's not get to, we've had two derailments.
All right. Sorry.
Run Pure Merch. I do want to go back to what you were saying though, because the one thing Hoop was able to do that still was very interesting to everyone was lay out a chronological timeline that basically, yes, he editorialized a little bit, but he was really just telling us the facts. On this day, I received this email. On this day, it was requested that I come to this in-person meeting. On this day, they sent me the buyout offer. So that was an interesting thing. He was hesitant to editorialize further and veer into that territory where he could be breaking his non-disclosure agreement that his lawyer said, hey, don't break this. So he had a little bit easier thing. So now if you're Run Pure, we already know the chronological timeline of events. Unless something there wasn't true, what can they say other than saying Hoop wasn't worth 300K, Hoop was shitty to work with, Hoop wasn't pulling his weight, Hoop was whatever. Like, all of their possible response probably veers into sketchy legal territory as it pertains to their buyout.
Yeah. You got to go with like Hoop sexually assaulted one of the employees. Like Hoop made a racist comment. Oh, there you go. No, but then that can actually get you in legal trouble if it's not true. But I think Hoop, like poker leveling wise here, is the clear winner. And I'm not sure. Because now they're like Ship It, I'm sure, got a lot of pub this last week. Like a lot of views, a lot of likes, a lot of not credibility, but what's the word? I don't know. Like the empathy of, you know, he interviewed really well, and they're like, and people are like actively saying, I'm stopping my Run Pure membership and joining Ship It Nation. So like, I don't see how he reverses it, but maybe he could. But like joking aside of with the you know, call him a racist or something. Like maybe there is a, I mean, who knows? Like a smoking gun.
Yeah. And that's why I do think the fact that they're willing to talk on Twitter with not so veiled subtweets, but not like go on a show or do a longer form thing, is because there isn't that much more to say, you know? And so I know that like, if you're thinking about a vehicle, if you go and do an hour podcast, like you need an hour's worth of content. Hoop had an hour's worth of a story to tell us timeline wise. I guess I just don't know what those guys can say other than like he was shitty to work with.
I'd be interested if anyone in chat, like what would it be? What would it take for you to be like, oh no, actually this was justified. Just thinking about it out loud with like the way it's laid out anyways, like even if he wasn't doing all his shows after he won his Millie or something and he stopped doing the accounting stuff, he clearly brought customers to that base who are going to be there for a long time, right? Like he doesn't get that back. Like they paid him obviously, but like you would assume that a big part of their initial subscribers was because of him. So like, you know, you can't just benefit from all that and be like, I don't like what you're doing now. And you're gone. You're out of the company. And to use the kind of the shadiness of a handshake deal, let me rephrase, like the gentleman's handshake deal and then using that to your benefit is really shady in our world, especially.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, it would take like, I don't know, something pretty bad, right? Like clear violations, multiple of them, of something to justify to just end all that. And in the way Hoop described, and we're also giving the benefit to the way Hoop portrayed all this.
Right.
It seemed earnest. Maybe this wasn't the way it went down at all too. That has to be a possibility since we don't know Big T's side.
Do you think, again, I'm using the Big T tweet as context clues, in Hoop's story to us, would there have been any reason why he wouldn't have felt comfortable sharing, they wanted me to take a pay cut? Because that never came up. Because my guess is if what he's saying is he didn't want to leave and like they wanted to smooth things over and the answer was like a pay cut, bringing in the CEO, I guess I'm trying to say, why wouldn't Hoop want to tell us that information if that was the case?
Just because it makes them look better. But yeah, if he was offered less money, like if Big T's like, we're all taking a 20% haircut and giving it to this guy.
Right.
Yeah. He probably should have mentioned that.
Yeah. Because to me, that starts to piece the story together a little bit more. Like your scenario of saying, hey, the main core ownership group is going to take a pay cut, and we are going to bring in the CEO because it's going to, yes, it will, you know, hurt our income in the short term, but we're going to make it back in the long term with having someone better to run the financial aspects of the company. That feels like a very clean thing to say. And it's also not like a shot against you personally in that case, if the whole ownership group is taking that on. But maybe there was more disagreement in like how much each person was taking a cut, where someone who is doing more work said it's not fair for us all to take the same cut or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe he wouldn't take it at all.
Yeah.
I'm not taking any cut. I don't want this guy here to begin with.
Yeah.
They must have been up around 1500 users or something anyways, to even consider that.
Yeah.
Because like, I mean, how much business stuff? I mean, you could do a lot of you could do a lot of like SEO and marketing and advertising, I guess, and stuff like that too. Mm. I guess there's a lot of work to do, but a lot of this stuff, the content wise, like the stuff they already do, you know, they already do shows, they already do projections, and you just got to post them, tweeting and getting your name out there, playing Diva. It kind of all takes care of itself.
Yeah.
A decent amount of it. Like you don't need some big wig, but yeah.
Here's another one that we should do some guesswork on. What do you think, now knowing we just have some vague numbers, 300K, maybe 1500 subs, what do you think the buyout number was? Because Hoop told us they made him an offer. He was disrespected. He made a counter. They said, no way. It was mediated. And Hoop said to us, it fell somewhere in the middle. How much do you think he got for the buyout?
I thought a lot less before Big T's tweet.
Yeah.
Before Big T's tweet, I was thinking he got like, I don't know. I don't even know.
And now knowing those numbers, let's just assume 1.5 million in annual revenue. What do you think that puts the valuation of the company at?
Shit. Steve Buzzard told me this. He did that.
He did it?
Yeah, that was part of his real job when he worked for a real company. Oh, my God. There is some like little back of the envelope math you could do for that. I can't remember, but they're so volatile. Who knows anyways?
Yeah.
But I can't remember, but I would say that would be worth like, I think we're giving them too much credit, but like 10 million, 15 million.
Yeah. I was going to be in that 10 million range too. And then would you say like Hoop, like 25% equity?
I think he said 30-30.
Yeah, the only thing was I thought like throughout the years, had they given any equity to any other contributors, any other people on the tech side, like that seems unlikely that they would have maintained full ownership throughout.
Good point. Okay.
So let's just, even if we put it down, let's put it down at 20% and let's be generous and say the company's valued at 10 million.
Okay.
So that would put his share at 2 mil. And I'm guessing he got nowhere close to that in the buyout. I'm going to guess he was closer to like, no, if his salary was 300K, I would guess his buyout was around 750 to 800,000.
Okay.
Just back of the napkin ballparking.
That sounds fair to me. He probably wanted 2 million. Or we're probably being generous. Maybe, you know, so maybe he probably wanted 1 million, got 500,000.
Something like that.
Or got 1 or 2 million, range. Got 800,000, 900,000.
And he did tell us that he wasn't receiving that all up front, and some of it was going to be paid in monthly.
I would imagine.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ron Pierce just got 10 million in the bank, you know, like, oh, just pay him out.
Well, I mean, Hoop said that there wasn't any money kicking around in the bank.
Right.
Yeah.
That's going to pay bills.
There you go. So if before all of this, I had just asked you, what do you think Run Pure Sports valuation was at? Like, how close would your guess have been without any of these other context clues we have?
I would have guessed they have like 500 paying subs.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever that would be, you know, worth a couple million dollars, $2 million.
Yeah.
$3 million.
Yeah. It's interesting. Interesting, interesting, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty successful. You got to hand it to Hoop. Okay, he didn't get the money he wanted, but he's still getting it, let's say, between 5 and 800K, and he's starting right back up.
That's the thing, too, when you think about in other businesses, right, or, I don't know, in science or tech, where there's, like, this intellectual property type stuff, like, him able to, like, spin that up, that's essentially like a clone as far as the playbook for running a DFS site. Like, you've been living it and you're just going to run the same playbook with a different logo on it. Yep. Like that's an easy pivot. Like if you're getting, it's then saying how much is the intellectual property of like Run Pure Sports and obviously the built-in customer base worth, but it's pretty easy to clone whatever you were doing over there somewhere else.
And he gets 50% at least, right? With
yeah,
figure. Oh, they probably, who knows? They might've got a computer guy. They were up and running surprisingly fast too, right?
Yeah.
With merch.
Yeah. So.
Oh shit. They gave that Randone's in. We forgot about that. Randone's part owner, remember?
Yeah. The T-Tid said, here's the personal stuff is so silly as both of them have a ton of money. Just figure it out. I don't know if I think that this clearly went deeper, right? Like it might have started with money disagreements, but this clearly fractured their friendship too. Like something around along the way. And that's why Hoop saying they weren't talking at all through this. It was like there had to have been some really tough blow up conversations at some point for it to get to here.
We still don't know what from point A to point B, what the hell happened. You'd figure that something happened in the relationship, like you just said. And unless it was just an outright forcing for more profit, which I think there's more to the story than that. Also, yeah. Something else had to happen with they wanted to give 20% of his equity to this guy and he didn't want to do it, or he wasn't working as much, or I'm totally guessing. I have no idea, but it feels like there's got to be both of those things. Like, or maybe yeah. Big T felt like I said this on the show too. Like Big T felt really slighted and Hoop just was oblivious to like Big T's frustrations or something like that.
Yeah.
Those two don't seem like the whole, you know, hey man, you know, like, could you, you hurt my feelings. Could you, you know, that, but I don't think they bury that shit deep down.
Right. And to your point, if they're burying it deep down, there probably was a lot of non-communication going on for a long time. And then instead of just being like, oh, it'll work itself out, or hopefully it works itself out. And then you find yourself, 2 years down the road being like, wow, we are in a shitty dynamic now. And now there's no way to massage it through now. It just has to lead to some kind of divorce.
It's crazy. Something else had to happen. They don't go from family friends to kicking one of them out of the company for nothing.
Right. I would be interested. Like I have no idea what added stuff like they're doing behind the scenes, because a lot of the stuff with the content, right? Like you said, it's almost turnkey, set and forget it. You got your producers over there. You got whoever's making your thumbnails and your promos. They know the routine for how to prepare for a slate and how to do a show for a slate. You do some Discord stuff. I mean, I guess it is hard to know like what stuff did they want to be happening? Because you can be in cruise control as a DFS site for sure. You could absolutely, if your members aren't getting purged and you don't feel like you have to be adding new offerings or whatever, because it did seem like, if you think about how like say ETR, you know, with their stuff where they try to attack different verticals, they're gonna be like, all right, we're gonna do this XFL thing, or we're gonna go heavy into best ball this year, and that's how we're gonna bring in new customers. It seemed like for Run Pure, at least from my perspective, it was just, hey, we'll just continue to do screenshot marketing. We will try to pull people in via sports betting and via kind of just traditional marketing techniques, but just keep doing what we do over and over and over again. That's kind of how it seemed to me.
Yeah, for sure. And I think their vertical, or whatever you want to call it, was sports betting.
Mm.
You know, giving out picks, which right. is pretty sharp. I mean, depending on you, it's not probably not sharp for the people betting those picks. I mean, maybe some of them have an edge, I don't know, but I think they're more like, I think the Lakers are going to win narrative bro type of picks, but people yeah. love that shit. And I'm not opposed to anyone selling that too. Like if it's all entertainment to me. So
yeah.
But you can make some money off that.
They're talking about the tech offerings that Run Pure Sports is really weak. When I subbed, their picks were posted in random formats, no CSV downloads, a lot of blank data. I mean,
how long ago was that?
Yeah. But that, like, to that point too, like that's not why you sign up for Run Pure Sports, right? If you want CSVs, you're going to Stochastic.
Yeah. Yeah. I think for them, you want like the player pools,
the core
and the rankings, you know, like yeah. who am I playing in golf this week? Who's, yeah. Who am I putting 80% in my lineups?
Yeah. Hang on. So Johnny Footballs has been talking in the chat about his theory. This one's fun to bring up because he was talking about how quickly Ship It Nation got running. He says RPS found out that Tyler and Hoop are planning on doing their own thing, which caused RPS to get out ahead of it and bring in the new CEO, and also why Ship was up and running so fast. There's some
fast.
Let's now wind that back through the lens of what we know. Why would Hoop want to leave to do his own thing if he has a cushy gig getting $300,000 a year doing four shows a week?
Doesn't make any sense. Except like if he doesn't have to do anything and Big T wouldn't care. Cause they had golf. Yeah, you can't do that. You can't do that. There's no way that would work out because Tambo was their golf guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be like, hey, bro, you took our golf guy and started your own site.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a partner here. You can't do that.
And, you know, to everyone it said that Hoop came across very genuine. I mean, he would have been bold-faced lying to us on multiple occasions when he said, I never wanted to leave Run Pure Sports. He said that to us multiple times. I had no intention. I was happy there. I wanted to keep doing that. I wanted
his family didn't know. His kids didn't know. Yeah. That would be just be him completely lying then if that's true. Yeah, that doesn't matter. That I don't buy that one.
I'm not saying it's not possible, but like it would really unravel everything we've heard so far.
Well, yeah, anything's possible.
And also, guys, I'm sorry. It's not hard. If I needed to spin up a new DFS tout site in a week, I could do it, guys. My designer gets me the logos. I know how to spin up podcast feed stuff. I get my producer on it. I get an express shipping to Brian with crushdfs.com merch. Like, it's not that hard to spin up a new enterprise. Because they were wearing shirts, you guys are like, wow, it must have taken 6 months to get those from a Chinese factory. Like, it's not that hard to spin it up.
That's true. It is hard to develop a good website with useful stuff.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
And really one of the big hard parts of that is finding someone decent to do it for a reasonable price. That could just take you years.
Yeah. And I mean, Clay says, I thought Hoop came across genuine, but him not directing some of your questions left major gaps. And then you have to ask yourself, was it because he, you know, was worried about the legal stuff, or were there parts he didn't want to share because he would think it would make him look bad, right? That's kind of the why was he not answering some of that stuff?
Well, if we're going in the upper range of compensation, 800, 900,000, million, I doubt it's a million, but I'm probably not saying much either. Sorry, guys. I'm keeping my mill.
Yeah.
So I would lean towards he just didn't want to. He probably, I think he got scared that he was going to get nothing. And his lawyer got him a solid deal, and it was a significant enough amount of money where he's like, okay, I won't say anything. I'm not going to go nuclear.
I think initially when we heard about the new CEO, right, both in the Big T post and both from Hoop, in my mind, it was like, the company has been a little disorganized. We need to tighten some things up if we want to succeed long-term in this environment. We need more of a visionary here that's not just a content guy. But if this spinoff site thing is true, or there's a little kernel of truth to it, could this have been Big T being like, we need someone in here to help facilitate what is going to be a legal battle for the company, because our documents aren't very clean and a lot of the stuff isn't explicitly spelled out in a way? Like, could that have been the actual impetus, or would you just get a really good lawyer in that situation as opposed to a CEO?
I think you'd get a good lawyer. And then in what context does Tambo's tweet make any sense then after that?
Mm-hmm.
I got the receipts of you guys leaving together to start your own company behind their backs.
Right.
Doesn't make any sense.
I like this theory. Oh, genius. I think this is where all of the DFS players are in here. What are we being distracted from? Yeah. Osimo's like building, you know, Korean baseball, like DFS projections right now. And he's about to just run the lobby.
He's going to watch this. He might be watching right now. I bet he loves this shit.
Hey, Lou, can we get I need to get a screenshot here for future thumbnail. Let me just get this here. Can someone take a screenshot for me?
Yeah. Starting to grow on the screen. The screenshots are starting to grow on me.
There, I got like four. There you go. If my guy Chris, who's been doing the thumbnails for me, if he's watching, I just got us about four more new thumbnail stills there.
Awesomeo, do you remember this when we first started? He wanted to do a show with me that was just more like DFS news and gossip.
Wait, was this pre or post lulz?
Right when we first started, like a month after we started.
A month after we started, Alex tried to cuck me?
We would still do our show.
Alex is like, great idea. How about you ditch the zero and get with the hero, baby?
No, we would have still done this show. But he, I told you this too. I think you're just forgetting. He wanted to do it. And I'm like, sure, yeah, let's figure out how to get it done. And I think the plan was to do it like in a room in Chicago, which would be
that would be cool.
I mean, I wouldn't want to like, because then I'd have to like go downtown.
You'd have to leave your house.
Leave my house. But I would do it because I think DFS needs a show like that. Like, with a real room with, the mics down, everyone in there. I think it's just a better format. But Tom or someone at Stochastic Ixnayed it.
Yeah, too dangerous. Yeah.
Too dangerous, especially probably how I was talking back then. There wasn't a lot to talk about on the show, so sometimes we got a little political.
Yeah. Well, wait, that's like the poker guys. What's Matt Berkey's operation called?
Solve for what?
Is that the name of their podcast network or two? But he has all of those like in-person, mics, really sick setup. People come through and just like jam. Like I think of all the people that I regularly collaborate with, how fun it would be to be able to do those shows in person. And I'm the exact same as you. Do I want to commute? Do I want to do any of that? Absolutely not. But just in a perfectly idealized world, if I could just walk downstairs and immediately be in some collective workspace where we could all podcast together, that would be very fun.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And honestly, in Denver and Chicago, they probably two areas you could probably pull it off. There's enough guys.
Yeah. Well, and it is, you got the Vegas guys that pull it off because they're all there for poker. Right. And this happens all the time in LA. Like all the biggest comedy podcasts out there do it in person because there's all these podcast studios. Same with a lot of podcast space in Brooklyn too. So it's definitely the ideal way to do it.
There's that. Vegas obviously is a huge edge over DFS since it's Vegas and poker. The other thing is the podcasts, when they're even in comedy world, they're so large that like it would make sense for you to fly somewhere to go do someone's podcast because it was so big. You know what I mean? Like whatever, Rogan, or just, name a huge podcast. It then becomes a no brainer to be like, I'll drive to St. Louis and do this podcast, because it gets 800,000 views and it'd be dumb for me not to do it. And so you get more people live in person when the bigger you are.
Yeah. Pius says, I love the idea of Awesomeo big dicking over Zet. Hey, I'm used to it. I mean, Davis is basically trying to run Lulz 2.0 on his Patreon feed with Brian these days. So, I mean, I'm used to everyone coming and trying to poach the show.
Yeah, with a little Star Wars talk mixed in.
This is true. There's a ton of ETR guys out in Colorado. Steven, who I know works for them, he's their behind the scenes content guy, does a lot of stuff. He just recently moved out there, so they have a nice crew out there. It is fun when you can have that many people together for in-person stuff, even if it's not daily.
It's hard to do a podcast when you're on the golf course and tennis courts 24/7.
When you're doing everything you can. Well, Peter has talked about this on the club and stuff, but him and Bales like wanted to build, and it's like the most Jennings idea ever. It was basically like, what if WeWork met like just a place where there was basketball hoops and ping pong tables and all the other kind of like games you'd like to play. And then there was like one little office in the back room where you could go do work stuff or take meetings or whatever, but it'd just be like a factory where all the ETR employees or whoever came and worked, but basically Pete just got to have people to play ping pong and shoot hoops with all day. And they were legitimately, I think, looking at spaces to like try to build out this co-working / bro haven.
It could work in the smallest of perfect situation. I I think that once you got big enough, that would fall apart. But
yeah,
I don't know. Who knows?
It'd also be like, it's one thing if you're Peter Jennings and you can, afford the luxury of playing ping pong for 4 hours. But if you have your employees there that you need to get stuff done, and they're over here being like, but there's skee ball action going on behind me. Might not be good for productivity.
If they did podcasts up the ass and YouTube content where they're streaming the basketball games and all that stuff, it might work if they were generating money off of that stuff.
Right. All right. We do have some, I mentioned how Brian and I actually weren't being big detectives on this, but some of you guys are. Christopher Donaldson claims RunPure filed their LLC on February 3rd of this year. That seems insane.
How do you know that?
But why wouldn't that have been done in the months that the company was formed?
Yeah. Turns out that was a big mistake for Hoop, huh? I mean, if he signs that paperwork, if they have the LLC, he's getting a third.
Mm.
You'd think, right? Unless, right, of course, there's more to the story and they actually have some leverage.
Right. Christopher's out here doing, I'm pretty sure we knew this name. Jesus, I think, Chris, that name was out there. Yeah. What else do you got, Chris? Keep it coming.
I think he should host next week. Right. Yeah. Bringing Chris and Davis.
This is why I love this show, because all I need to do for research is have two tweets pulled up and then I can just let the chat do the rest of the work for me. This pod is the Winehurst meme. That's what people want from us. We're just trying to connect the dots, man. Why is that? Why did Tambo tweet that out? Yeah, the LLC stuff. It would have been very, very funny if Hoop was leaving to start RunPure Sports, and that ended up being the sticking point. Was that, nope, they actually got the LLC trademark.
We got to get this through ASAP.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm being honest, guys. Like, Brian and I, we thought we were going to talk about this for like 10 minutes. I knew there were obviously a ton of people who enjoyed watching the interview last week. I didn't really know how much left there was to say, unless someone from RunPure comes out and lays out an alternate timeline or sequence of events, right?
Pretty much. Yeah. And you know, I'd love to hear it personally, but I don't think it's going to happen. I think Big T's now Big C.
Yeah. Big T's welcome to come on the show, but he would much rather do the take cast than he would this show. And he's not doing the take cast. So, it doesn't have to do with there not being platforms for him not to talk. I'm sure there's lots of people checking out those 12K views saying, hey, give me some of that. Come on my channel and break the story.
I did Pat Mayo's show earlier this week and he's like,
oh yeah, how'd that go?
You guys did tons of traffic on that. Like, did you guys think you'd be the gossip, DFS gossip rag? Nope.
It is fun. It'd be funny if we saw some kind of sea change, Brian, where it was like, everyone just like, screw it. We're not doing, you know, core plays anymore. We're just going to fucking take a shot at someone else in the space and make content around it. I mean, that's what poker does. I mean, Doug Polk built a YouTube kingdom out of beefs.
This is impossible, but the whole thing's fake. They both own Ship It and RunPure. It was all played out. They figured they'd make more money by making this huge marketing play. What are the odds of that?
It just doesn't add up for it to be like that. It's too, everything seems so raw. Like the fact, like Hoop coming on, his emotion seemed real about how just the entire process, and then the fact that it doesn't make any of the RunPure guys look good when they tweet out what they do. It makes it look like petty or that there's truth to what is being said. The fact that everyone in a way is showing their ass makes me think this isn't just some fun marketing ploy, because why would you take that reputational hit in the process?
I don't know, man. I think they might have, they've doubled the size of their company essentially.
There,
looks
it is.
Good.
Coming to a thumbnail, dude. When I sign my one show RunPure Sports contract, this better be on the thumbnail here.
That's a pretty good pick, Pete.
It is. That is ending up on a thumbnail.
Do you want to talk about the underdog banning me for a second?
Yeah, I got about 5 minutes here, but I do want to talk about it. I got to go too
anyways. But
so for those of you who don't know, it was a few weeks ago we were kicking off. It was the night that the NFL schedule was released. And Brian, of course, had the draft caddy. Those of you who watch me do my best ball drafts, you'll see I got my week 16, my week 17, my exposures. That's all Brian's draft caddy, which I continue to get a million questions about. Apparently we're bad at marketing. Maybe we need to hire someone from Run Pure Sports to market this draft caddy. Brick75.com, Sports HUD. We have multiple videos. And in every Lowell's YouTube description, there's a video that links and shows you how to set it up. It's actually really easy to use now. But anyways, that was just the draft caddy. You had been working this offseason on what did you name it? A draft pilot? Is that what
the Crane Killer?
We
still, we've been busy revamping it. They haven't even done the name. Yeah. What would we call the draft driver or the crane killer? Driver. I think were the two finalists.
And this was the first thing I had seen in the space like this. And it basically was what I would call it a smart auto drafter. Whereas right now, if you auto draft a team, you can only you basically have two guardrails. One, you could upload your rankings. Two, you can set your positional limit. So I want max three quarterbacks, max whatever. Those are the only two things you could do. You end up with really shitty teams if you auto draft. Brian basically created something that had sliders that allowed you to dictate more preferences. I want to go zero RB. I want to get an elite tight end. I want to punt quarterback. And then even correlation boosts if you wanted to prioritize more stacking, more week 17, all that stuff. Pretty cool tool. Brian actually drafted a decently good team the night we debuted it. Obviously some bugs with it long-term that Brian would have fixed, but a pretty cool tool for maybe whales in the ecosystem like Brian who are willing to throw a bunch of money at this, but just don't want to spend the time drafting. Fast forward, Brian, what? The day after the show, what happened?
Day after the show, they messaged me on Twitter that they wanted to know some information on it. And I told them I'd give them the code if they even wanted to look at it. Yeah. But they eventually decided they wanted me to roll it back because, one, it violates their terms of service. I mean, I guess it does. It's like you need to be authorized, and they technically haven't authorized me yet. But they said make it a suggestion, and it'll be fine. They don't like the actual drafting part of it. Which is the whole point, I think, and benefit for people who would use it, who otherwise wouldn't play.
Yeah.
And so I rolled it back, and then we just rolled out the new suggest feature for Underdog. And then we're going to work on DraftKings next.
So how does it work? Does it still do the like slot machine scroll for the suggestion?
It does scroll the players, but it pops it in the queue.
It auto puts it in the queue?
Yeah.
That's cool.
And we added the week 16, 17 correlation now.
So what's the difference if it puts it in the queue and then it times out and you get the player versus selecting it itself?
One, it's not drafting it. They are.
Gotcha.
It's actually kind of cool because you could change your mind if you don't like who they pick and stuff like that.
Okay.
And I think if you do two queue picks in a row, they autopilot you. So you have.
Gotcha. And so then it won't allow it to keep queuing stuff up because it will snap, make the pick.
I don't know how that's how it worked before. So I don't know what their thing is, but it's just not drafting it. We're not drafting it. So if it times out, it will pick the queued player.
Okay.
But if you're on autopilot, it won't work. And you have to select, you have to select your settings. It won't work unless you make your picks on how you think it should work.
So for the functional purpose, like when you had described it, one of your things was like, oh, I might start a draft and then, food gets here. I got to go do something. I run an errand. With your previous version, you could leave. It would draft the team pretty well based on those parameters. Now you can't do that. But what you can do is you can multitask pretty well and just casually make sure you're going over and selecting draft on the player that gets in the queue. So you could theoretically, but you'd still need to be at your desk and make sure that you're drafting along with the suggestion, but it would allow you to probably multi-table much easier.
Yeah, you can easily multi-table, and you could just use it for fun, for content too, if you wanted. See what it selects.
Yeah.
Because it is throwing in quite a bit of like correlations and stuff in there.
Yeah.
Comparing players with the week 16, 17 and bye weeks and shit like that.
Do you know what'd be really fun, Brian, with that twist now that it has entered a new iteration? Would it be able to say, like, these are the three top suggestions, and one might be an ADP value, one might be a correlated piece, one might be, I don't know, whatever the other thing, but where it's like you have three finalists and then you get to kind of manually choose. It's like, you do the legwork for me. This is the best ADP value, but you might want to complete this stack with your quarterback. You make the choice now that both are right in the queue.
It could queue up three guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'd rather have DraftKings next on the list. And circle back to that.
But yeah.
Unless you think that's something people would really want.
I just think it would be cool to kind of like, you know, it's like you get the machine's thought on it, and then you get to kind of make the final decision on the best suggestion.
Yeah. We could do that. We could definitely do that. But I mean, just for the record, I still think they should change their mind and put it back to allowing. And then so now we'll leave this guide. It's called guide me button now, you know, like a suggest button. And then we'll put an auto drafter under there for DraftKings. But I will, you know, hopefully it'd be nice to have both those options for underdog too. And, you know, they could use a suggest or they could draft it if they need to step away. And I think they just kind of need to think it through about like what they want to allow and what they don't want to allow. Mm-hmm. And I would say one point would be like reading other players and like trying to predict what they move. Like if you really want to get complicated, you could make some pretty complicated sims that will give someone a big advantage. Not a big advantage, but an advantage. And like this app doesn't like read the other players' teams or predict what Pete's going to do and try to counteract that or anything like that.
Everyone already knows what I'm going to do. They see me draft too many times.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really just there for one for guys like me who don't want to sit there the entire draft and for 150 of them, but also it's like what their autopilot should be.
Right.
That kind of thing. So that's what I think they should do is just put some limits on it that makes sense. I guarantee there's going to be guys who are going to be doing some hardcore stuff because there's too much money at stake. So,
well, now the worst thing is like you who were willing to do it out in public completely above board. Now someone's going to get the idea, one of how we refer to them as, you know, you create the monster. Like they're going to go do it and they're not going to be above board. They're not going to tell people about it. They're going to use it for their own personal use.
It would make no sense. It would make no sense. But like one of the big edges in best ball is people misclicking and autopiloting, you know, and forgetting, like being surfing the internet and forgetting to go back to the underdog tab and it's on autopilot and they got nine running backs, you know, that evens the playing field for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
Just turn that on. And if you don't want the auto drafter, just turn on the suggest one. And then if you forget, like at least you'll have a decent pick there.
Yes.
You're not dead.
For sure. All right. I got to run. Yeah, appreciate you guys all hanging out in the chat. If any of you sleuths uncover anything else, feel free to slide into Brian or I's DMs on Twitter or Discord with any other information. But God, hopefully we're not talking about this next week. audio will be up on the Lulz podcast feed. Again, even people asking in the chat about the Chrome extension. I have the link down below, brick75.com. If you've been watching me draft, you can see the overlay stuff there. You just have to do a quick little developer tool unpacking thing to get it loaded into Chrome, but the instructions are all there. And then once you have it in there, it's really easy to then go use the auto dropdowns for getting your exposures, getting week 16, week 17. And I actually have something I want to work on to get Brian another fun thing we can add to the app for information while you're drafting. Anything else I'm forgetting here, Brian?
No. I got MMA projections and ownership free on my site for Saturday too.
Yep. Awesome. Gator reminding me to doing a couple more shows tonight. I'm going on the Fantasy in Frames show with Stephanie and Stacy. Going to talk best ball with those ladies at 8 p.m. Also going to do a giveaway over on that channel. So if you want to tune into that, excited to talk with them. And then I'm going to do a best ball after dark tonight at 9:30. I had been doing those on the weekends, but it's is Memorial Day weekend. I'm going to be taking the weekend off, but going to be jamming with John Warner from the Badge Bros. Excited to talk to him about his poker past, transitioning into fantasy sports, and we'll probably end up doing a draft as well. So YouTube members get access to that show. So check that doubleheader out tonight. We will see you, as always, next Thursday at 1:30 p.m. For Brian, I'm Pete. Peace.